Okay, so we're starting, as I said, on Yud Gimel Amud Bet, about two-thirds of the way down. We're going from, so again, the line in the Mishnah that we're working on is Urashus HaNizak V'HaMazik. So just to recap, again, that the Mishnah on Tet Amud Bet, I think it was, yes, the Mishnah had sort of gone through all of the different ways, the classic liabilities, basically. They're saying this is the classic scenario in which you are liable, listing all of the things, and... And then it says chutz mirushus hamiyuchedes lemazik urushus hanizak lemazik. And then the exception was you are not liable in a rushus hamiyuchedes lemazik if it's an area which is owned specifically by the mazik, by the damager. So my ox is in its own field and your ox comes in and my ox gores it, then I'm not liable because again it's rushus hamiyuchedes lemazik. This is my field. My ox is in there, and the fact that my ox caused damage to your ox when it came in, it shouldn't have been in there, right? It shouldn't have been in there in the first place. So you're going to be exempt in that case. And then the Mishnah has this slightly ambiguous statement where it says, Urashus hanizak v'hamazik. And if you have a joint property, something which is an area belonging to both the nizak and the mazik, both the damaged party and the damaging party. So it's... That's what it says, and we're going to, again, last time, we already did this, but we'll just sort of fly through this quickly. What the Gemara is going to basically say is this is ambiguous as to whether that's included in the chutz. Is this an exception, or is this going back to where you're liable? I.e., you know, when it's a joint field, are you going to be liable, or are you going to be exempt? So, Omar of Chista, Omar Avimi, Chotzer Hashutfin, Chayev. So he says if you have a joint field, property which is, again, owned by the, or rented, or, you know, basically it's the property of, it's under the responsibility of both the damaging party and the damaged party, then you're going to be liable, right? The damager is still going to be liable. You and I both agree that we're going to share a field with our animals in it, and one of, you know, my animal damages your animal, so I'm going to be liable, according to Rav Chista Omar Avimi. Sorry, excuse me, I've stopped mid-sentence. Chayv bo al hashein v'al haregel. He says you're liable for shein and regel, which we said is basically, you know, is, for instance, if it eats my food or if it accidentally tramples as it's walking, right, steps on something as it's walking along, then that's what you're going to be liable for. Again, implication being that you're not going to be liable for keren damage, for sort of intentional damage by the animal. So, and this is how you have to read the Mishnah. This is how it fits in linguistically. Chutz mirushus hamiyuchedes lemazik. When the Mishnah had said, with the exception of a property which is owned exclusively by the damager, that's potter. That's now we're adding in words, right? The potter. That's where you're exempt. Urushus hanizik v'hamazik. But if you have a joint field, then kashahizik chov hamazik, right? When it causes damage, then you're going to be liable. Nevertheless, he still seems to say only shein and regel. You're going to be liable, right? You're going to be liable only for shein and regel. Okay, so that's the opinion of Rav Chisda Omar Avimi. Rabbi Loza Omar Potter ala shein v'ala regel. He says you're exempt from shein. I'm sort of reading into the Mishnah. I'm not sure what we say about keren. We probably had this confusion last time as well, actually, with sort of the stopping and the starting. Anyway, their debate seems to be about shein and regel. So their debate is basically if, again, just to run through the case once more, you and I share a field. Both of our animals are in the field. In fact, it doesn't matter where your animal is. But my animal ends up eating your grain, let's say, which is also in the field. Or it ends up, as it's walking along, it stands on... It stands on something which it tramples through your crops or something, you know, as it's walking along, it sort of accidentally causes damage to your crops. So again, according to Rav Chisda, in the name of Avimi, I'm going to be liable for that, just as I would be if if I was in your property alone. But according to Rabbi Elazar, I'm going to be exempt from those sorts of things. V'hochi ka'omar, and he reads the Mishnah as follows. Chutz mirushus hamiyuchedes lemazik. This is excluding, right, as, again, going back to our Mishnah, you're liable in many, many cases, but you're not liable except for a case which is an area which is owned exclusively by the mazik, by the damager. Everyone agrees to that. And then in his reading of the Mishnah, Urashus Anizek Vahamazik Nami Potter. And again, when it says Urashus Anizek Vahamazik, that's also included in that earlier exemption of the damages field. So whether it's exclusively the damages field or whether it's a joint field, you're going to be exempt according to Rabbi Lazar, whereas according to Ruchiz Domer Avimi, you're going to be liable for Shein and Rega. So he then continues. He says, "Uchashe hizik chov hamazik la asuye keren." So he says, and when it says, when it continues, the continuation of the Mishnah following that, and says, "Uchashe hizik chov hamazik," the Mishnah then continues and says, and when it causes damage, then you're going to be liable, right? What is that including? Why do we have that continuation of the Mishnah? We're now just the second to last line before the wide lines, second to last narrow line. So what exactly is that including when the Mishnah is sort of going out of its way to say you're now liable in this joint field? So Rabbi Lazar adds on to that you're going to be liable for Keren. Although you're exempt from Shein and Regel, you're going to be liable for Keren. If my animal damages your animal, then in this joint field, then that you are going to be liable for. That you're going to be responsible for. Okay. So that's our debate. And again, presumably Ruchista and Avimi would agree with that as well. Would agree that you're liable for Keren. Agree that you're liable for Keren. Okay. It's interesting to me that this is the split that we're doing, because usually we're saying Keren, usually we want to say Keren you're less liable for, because it's sort of unusual. I think over here the point is that it's a sort of a specific exemption. So because it's a jointly owned property, so in a sense, just as you're going to be exempt on my field, right, if I'm the damager, I'm going to be exempt on my field, so too you're going to be exempt over here, but that's not necessarily the case for Keren. Anyway, it's just an interesting quirk where we sort of swap them around here. Excuse me. Okay, Gemara continues. Hani Chala Shmua. So throwing us right back to the beginning, to the first Mishnah on Daf Bet. We say that all of this fits well according to the opinion of Shmuel, because we had this debate on our very, very first Mishnah, which had listed Arba Avot Nozikin, right? Four different categories, and those four categories were a little bit puzzling. Some of them were very obvious, but some of them, for instance, we said, what exactly is Mav'e, right? What exactly was that? We were a little bit puzzled. So we had this debate between Shmuel and Rav, I think, yes, between Rav and Shmuel, as to whether we split up, basically, the different animal damages, whether we split up Keren from Shein and Regel, or whether they're all part of the same main category. So we say this makes sense according to Shmuel. We're throwing this back right to that. We're saying now over here, we have Rabbi Lazar also splitting them up. Rabbi Lazar saying over there, here in this case, in this joint field, that you're liable for Shein and, sorry, that you're exempt for Shein and Regel. You're exempt for eating or for accidentally trampling or for anything like that. But you're liable if your animal causes intentional damage, right? If it gores or if it bites or if it pushes or whatever else, you know, anything like that. You're going to be liable for that. So that makes sense according to Shmuel, excuse me, because Shmuel had already split up the Keren from Shein and Regel. But Elala Rav, the Omar, Rav had said Tana Shor v'chol mili de Shor, that when the Mishnah had said Shor, right, it meant anything to do with Shor, right, any type of damages done by an animal, and in a sense he'd always kept Keren, Shein and Regel joined together. So then Chov Hamazik la Asuyemai. So now this continuation in the second Mishnah. How can you split them up, right? What exactly does Chov HaMazik come to include? So the Gemara now continues to sort of reread this line according to Rav. It's coming to include the following teaching. Kesha Hizik Chov HaMazik Lahovi Shomer Chinom V'Hashoel Nosei Socher V'Hasocher. It's coming to include what are known as the four guardians, I think. I don't know how we'd call them. The Dalad Shomrim, the four Shomrim, we call them in Hebrew. Four different types of guardians, each one with a slightly different deal, basically, and a slightly different level of liability. So I guess we'll do them in order of in order of liability, basically. So the most liable is going to be a shoel. I'm borrowing from you. If I'm borrowing from you without any payment, then I'm not paying you and you're not paying me, right? Then I'm obviously getting a very, very good deal. And because you're doing me a big favor, I'm also going to be accepting, absent of any other arrangement, I'm accepting upon myself a very, very high level of liability. Okay, if I borrow something from you, you expect it back in good order. You expect it back in the same way. With no ifs, ands, or buts. Right. that's number one, the shoel, borrower. Then we have in the middle, we have sort of two, which are not quite interchangeable, but they're sort of the halfway house. So one is where I rent something from you. So yes, I am taking it from you. You're doing me a favor, but I'm also paying you for that privilege. Or you have a shomer socher, where I am looking after something for you. So obviously I'm doing you a favor, but again, you're paying me for that. So it's a little bit sort of in between, right? Where we're both doing each other a favor. We're paying for the privilege. So either again, I'm renting it, and therefore I'm getting use of it, or I'm just looking after it for you because you're paying me to do so. Whichever way around, those are the sort of two middle categories. And then the lowest level of responsibility, obviously you're still a little bit responsible, but where you're doing someone the biggest favor, then you're going to be least responsible, is where you're what's called a shomer chinam. I ask you to look after something for me for free. Right, so those are the four. I said, please, can you watch this? Right, please, can you watch this? And something happens to it. So again, if you're totally, totally negligent, then you're going to be liable. But in many, many cases, then you're going to be exempt. As long as you were acting normally and not doing anything totally irresponsible. Because again, you were doing a favor, and therefore you're going to have a low level of liability. So these four categories, these Dalet Shomrim, these four sort of types of guardians, are what the Mishnah is coming to include over here. How so? Shehizika behema birshuson, tam mishalem chatzi nezek, umuad mishalem nezek shalem. So the teaching continues and says that what happens if the animal, shehizika behema birshuson, that the animal causes damage in its own property, and in that case, tam mashalim achatzi nezik, umud mashalim nezik shalom. Again, you're going to be liable in the same way as normal, right? You're going to pay half damages if it's tam, if it's never done it before. If it's never damaged before, you're going to pay half damages, as in all other cases. You're going to pay full damages if it's a muad, if it's an animal which is known to have caused damage in the past, which has got a sort of a label as such. And finally, nifritza balayla, osha partzuha listin, v'yotzasa v'hizika potter. If it broke out on its own at night, or that the fence was broken by robbers, by bandits, people were coming in, and then it got out, then v'yotzasa v'hizika, and it got out, and it got out and it caused damage, then you're going to be exempt. And again, this is basically what the classic case of an onus, right, of something which is beyond your control, right? We're not talking about where you had a sort of dodgy fence, but it was a good fence, it was a good strong fence, but yet the animal managed to break out, or someone else broke the fence, and as a result the animal got out and caused damage, you're going to be exempt. So that's basically, all of that was one teaching, and what we're saying is basically the Mishnah, which has used the phrase, when it caused damage, you're going to be liable, according to Rav, was coming to include this teaching. Okay, so we've thrown in lots of stuff. Pause, any questions, comments, thoughts, you know, parts we want to go over before we go on. Yes.
If you're renting something,
yes,
and that's what you're paying for it. If you're a custodian and you're still paying for it, it's sort of a big difference between being a custodian and being a renter. Because in both cases, you're paying for...
Well, one case you're paying and one case you're being paid, you mean?
No. I thought one of the cases where you're a custodian and you...
The thing that seems at first blush, maybe I'll go into it, unfair to me, is that you
you put the Shomer Chinuch in the same category as the Shomer Sakar.
No, that, I didn't mean to. So then, no. Well, Shomer Chinuch.
But the Shomer Chinuch is also liable.
Oh, over here. Well, sorry, you're always going
to... So that seems to me to be, I mean, maybe we'll unpick it, but that seems to me to be somewhat unfair.
This is a most extreme case. So the liability here, Shomer Chinuch always has some level of liability.
Yes, but here, without going any further, and yeah, get some picks, he seems to have the same level. He's not differentiating between the Shomer Chinuch and people who are actually paid to do it.
Well, because it's a case where everyone's going to be liable. Meaning, there's only so much liability you can have. At least in this sort of case, you're going to you never have less. You have less liability, i.e., fewer cases. But if it is a case where you're liable, then you're going to be liable in just the same way. So here we're dealing with a case of negligence.
So I'm going to say, so what that suggests is that what we're dealing with here is a case of pretty extreme negligence. If somebody who's for no payment looking after an animal.
Yes.
Is going to be made liable. He must have done something pretty culpable.
Yeah, so let's clarify. So when it says Birshuson, we are going to we are going to unpick this. I have a feeling actually is a sort of a it's unclear whether we're talking about Chayev. Yeah, let's come back to it. But again, sorry, I should clarify that when we're talking about this teaching, right? This is a general teaching talking about any sort of paid and unpaid guardians, and they're they're liable in this case, as we said, of negligence, and they're exempt in the case when it's out of their control, right? But here we're talking about when we're applying it now to this. To this specific scenario, what we're doing is we're saying Rushus Hanizak Vahamazik, that these unpaid, these paid and unpaid guardians are now in a joint field, right? So we're adding a level of complication here. Okay, it's not just that you and I made an arrangement. We're talking about now where the damage actually occurred on. So you and I have made an arrangement that I'm borrowing your ox as an example. Okay, so I'm borrowing your ox. You've done me a big favor. I'm borrowing your ox, but I'm also storing that ox on our joint property. Okay, we own a joint field, and that's where the damage occurred. Okay, so the damage occurred on a field that is joint. That's what we're talking about. Rishus Hanizak Vahamazik. Both of us own this property, or at least as I say, have responsibility. We're both renting, joint renters, or whatever it is. It's both of our property at the moment. And also, in addition to that, I am borrowing your ox, which is on this field, right? So we're going to pick it apart now. But that's the case that we're trying to sort of fit in over here. So there's multi layers going on. Okay, but it's just good to bear in mind the principles, I think. This is the principles at the moment are that we, as I said before, we have these four different types of guardians generally having different levels of liability, but as Phil pointed out, again, there are going to be cases in which all of them are going to be liable and cases in which all of them are going to be exempt, so that's what we're going to have to try and do. And again, we've already established in the previous line of the Mishnah, based on the psukim from the Torah, that a property which is exclusively owned by the mazik, by the damaging party, if the damage occurs on my property, right? My animal's the one that caused the damage, but it occurred on my property, I'm going to be exempt for that, because what were you doing on my property? Why was your, let's say if my animal ate your grain, why was your grain in my, in my field, right? Why was your animal in there if your animal was damaged by mine? Why was it there? So here we're talking about this joint property, and that's why we're trying to figure out when exactly is, if we have it joint, does that exemption apply or not? Okay, so Omar Mar, so this is now seven lines from the end of Yud Gimel Amud Bet. Omar Mar, Kusha Hizik Chav Hamazik, so we're coming back to this line. What is that including? That is Lahavi Shomer Chinuch Vahashoel Nosei Socher Vahasocher. It's including these four types of guardians. Hey Chidomi, how exactly is this working? Ilema, if you if we perhaps we'll suggest the azke tura de mashil le tura de shoel, that the ox of the original owner, right, the ox of the mashil, the person who is lending out, gored the ox of the shoel, gored the ox of the one who is borrowing, right? So and again, I think what it means, tura de mashil in this case means the actual ox that he had borrowed, right? So I borrowed your ox, and I also had my own ox, and one gored the other. So that's the case. If that's what we're referring to, so leimale, he can respond, this is the original owner. So again, we should give them names, okay? So we'll use the classic Talmudic names, okay? We talk about Reuven and Shimon, okay? So we have Reuven owns an ox, and he lends it to Shimon. No money, no payment. Does Shimon a big favor? He's an old friend of his. He says, yeah, sure, you can borrow my ox. No problem, no payment, no nothing. So he gives Shimon his ox, and while the while Shimon has the ox, that particular ox causes damage to another one of Shimon's ox, right? Oxen. So he causes damage to another animal that belongs to Shimon already. So Shimon comes and knocks on Reuven's door and says, I borrowed this ox from you, and now he's caused me damage, right? I'd like you to pay up, please. So Reuven's response is, Ilu azik ba'alma, if my animal had done damage to anyone else, right, then bo'is lishlume at, you would be the one who would have to, again, presumably we're talking about a case of negligence, right, you would be the one who has to pay for it, right? You were the one, let's say it was you're wandering around with this ox, right? If you were, you were supposed to be looking after this ox caused damage to someone else, you were the one who was responsible for it at the time, because you were the one who was responsible for it at the time, so you're going to be responsible. So if it would have been anyone else, then you would have been responsible. You would have had to pay back. So hashta da azke latura didoch, now that it's caused damage to your animal, ba'ina lishlume, right? Why should I pay? Basically, right? You're responsible anyway. You're responsible if it was someone else's ox, so you should be responsible now that it's your own ox that's had damage caused. So we don't like that version of the case. So that one doesn't fit. Elab de azke tura de shoel le tura de mashal. So it must be the other way around. The borrower, Shimon's ox, was the one that caused damage to Reuven's ox. So that, again, now Reuven says, I lent you this ox, right? I lent you this this animal, and now your animal has come and caused damage. Your animal has now caused it damage. So as Keturah de Shoel, Leturah de Mashal. So lema le'ilu itzik me'almo, if it would have been damaged by anyone else, bo'i lishlume kulei tura. So now the response is, basically, Reuven says, I want some money for this animal, right? This animal has now been killed. Let's say, for argument's sake. So I borrowed Shimon borrowed the ox, and now the ox is no more, okay? Because Shimon's animal killed it. So now he comes to Reuven and says, I'm very sorry, but I'm going to pay you, but how much am I going to pay? So Reuven says to him, well, he said, if anyone else would have gored this animal, then you would have been liable. If someone else, a third party, would have gored this animal, then when I came back to you and said, can you please return my animal, you'd have said, oh, I'm really sorry, you know, animal no more, then you'd have paid for it fully, because you borrowed it. You accepted the full level of responsibility, you'd have paid for it fully. But now that you've caused the damage, Hashtag the Azke Tura Didov, now that your animal has caused the damage, Palge Nizkahu Dumshamutli, right? You're telling me now that you're only going to pay half damages because it was a short term, because your animal had never done it before, so you want to get away with only paying half damages. But the fact that you borrowed it means that you should be responsible for the whole thing. Does everyone follow that? Does everybody follow?
We're talking only about a Shomer Chinam.
Correct. In this particular case, we're talking about not a Shomer Chinam, sorry, a Shoel. It's less than a Shomer Chinam. Shomer Chinam is where I ask you to do me that. Shomer Chinam is the opposite end of the spectrum. I ask you to do me a favor by looking after it. Here, you've asked me for a favor, you're borrowing it for free.
But my request.
Correct.
Not
The Shemachinam and Shoel are two opposite ends of the spectrum. One case, I'm asking you to do me a favor. Please, can you look after my iPad or whatever? Please, can you look after my chickens? I'm going away on holiday. Right? I've asked you to do the favor. You're accepting, in that case, a very low level of responsibility. Whereas the opposite case is, you know, I need some help in my field. Can I please borrow Daisy to come and work in my field? Right? So that... then, if I'm doing you a big favour, then you're accepting a very high level of responsibility in that case.
So that's what we're doing with the Shoel.
Correct, the Shoel, exactly. Borrower, right? You've asked to borrow my animal, and you've therefore accepted a very high level of responsibility. And the point is that your animal, a different animal, has now caused damage to the one that you borrowed. And usually, if your animal causes damage to another animal, then we know, of course, that's half payment. Half damages because of shoratam, right? It's never done it before. So it's half damages. So you say, ah, yeah, my animal caused damage. I understand that. Okay, I'm going to pay half damages. But that doesn't work in this case because it caused damage to an animal that you borrowed. And therefore, that animal that you borrowed, you have to pay back in its entirety to the person who you borrowed it from, right? You borrowed it from them. You can't just come along and say, oh, no, sorry, my ox is only liable for half damages. Yes, that's very good. But you're the Shoel in this case. You borrowed the animal. If the damages would have been done by anyone else while it was under your responsibility, under your watch, then you would have paid back in its entirety, and therefore that's what you have to do. So that also doesn't fit, okay? Because our teaching had split. Our teaching had said that a shoratam is liable chatzi nezek, right? So it doesn't. So these neither of these scenarios fit with our teaching. David, yeah, makes sense.
I'm not sure I follow that one completely. You're saying that if it's an animal that's tough,
yes.
Even if it hadn't been borrowed, it would still only receive half.
We're talking about in a regular case of not borrowing, right? Meaning, I borrow an animal, right? And it's gored by whatever it is, doesn't matter, right? If it's gored by your ox, let's say, for example, you're not involved in this case. You pay me half damages, but I have to pay the owner back, who I borrowed the animal from. When I can't return the animal to him that I borrowed, I have to pay him back the full price of the animal.
Even if that same goring ox had gored it when it was still in the possession of the original owner, he would have only received half.
Correct.
So why but should he expect now to
because receive because you're because you were borrowing it, you've accepted a half. No, it's not just a half. I mean, let's say anything happened to it. Let's say if I lend something to you and you're not returning it to me, then you'll have to pay me back.
Another way of putting it, Rabbi, is should the reduction of damages for a shoratam be available to the borrower where it's his animal that's a shoratam and it's actually damaged the animal that he's borrowed.
Right.
That's another way of putting the same point.
Yes.
Because that doesn't sit very, very happily with the fact that the borrower ought to be fully responsible.
Correct. And is fully responsible.
And is fully responsible. So you're sort of saying that actually, well, we've talked about another damages situation where there's only chetzi damage, only half damages,
yes,
available, and that those two don't sit very easily in this scenario.
I think the point is that in this case, the Shoel is both a Shoel and a Mazik, right? You are both you're fulfilling two roles over here. You are both the person who borrowed the animal, and you're the person who caused damage to the animal, right? So in your role as someone who caused damage to the animal, in theory, you would only be liable half damages. But you're also considered the borrower of the animal. And the borrower of the animal, even if you weren't the one who caused damage, if someone else caused damage, you would also be liable fully because you were borrowing it. You were responsible. Again, you know, you're walking along and the animal got hit by a car, whatever the scenario is. You borrowed my animal. I expect back the animal, unless it's really, really, there are those who talk about onus gomer, you know, really sort of a wacky case, you know, I don't know, struck by lightning or something, you know, something that was really, really very unusual. Potentially, you might be, I think you probably would be exempt in that case. But as a general rule, if you're borrowing something, then you're going to be, you're going to accept a very, very high level of responsibility.
Is that because if you're the owner, you own it, and it's up to you what you do with it or what goes wrong. If you're a borrower, in effect, the owner expects to receive his animal back.
Yes.
The way you borrowed it. So there are differences between the borrower and the owner, which is why the borrower has to pay full
damages. Yeah, exactly. Because as we said, because the owner is expecting back. You know, that's in a sense that's the standard terms of borrowing in Jewish law, is that you expect, again, absent very, very, very extreme circumstances, you expect to receive back what you lent to the person in the first place. You did them a big favor. You say, I'll give you whatever it is. Yeah, I want it back. Doesn't bother me what happened to it, you know, or didn't happen to it. If something happened to it, then you have to reimburse me for it. Right?
Well, I guess I'm thinking along these lines, which I suppose don't fit with that. If you are a lender, somebody wishes to borrow your horse, mm-hmm. you are the lender.
Right.
When you have an ox, you own an ox, so one of the possible scenarios that may happen to your ox in the future is that it gets gored by some other ox for the first time, and you would only receive half payment.
Right.
So you're just extending that. You're saying, I'm going to lend this ox. There is a possible scenario where I would only receive half payment because it got gored by an ox for which I would only receive half payment. It just so happens that my ox was lent to somebody when that happened.
So yeah, but that's very significant. Meaning, again, let's take it out of the realm of oxen and all this stuff. Just think about anything. You know, you lend someone your car, let's say, for example. I mean, I know now, complicated with insurance things, but let's say, you know, assuming you live in a country where there's no big big insurance requirements and things like that. Someone borrows someone else's car, okay? I say to you, can I please borrow your car? Right, I borrow your car. As I'm driving along, again, no fault of my own, I'm driving along, right, and someone doesn't look, someone jumps a red light, for example, causes damage to the car. Okay, now you did me a big favor by lending me the car, so you expect the car back as it was, and if not, then I'm going to pay you back to reimburse that problem. Was it my fault? No, it wasn't my fault, but the point is that you did me a favor, and that's the expectation, that you're going to return it in that same way. So you're saying, but if I would have had it at the time, then I would, you know, and that person had caused that damage, you know, then I would have had to bear the brunt of that. But
I'm not sure. I'm not sure it extends to that, because we've had this before, haven't we, where we've come back to say that all of this only applies in the case of an animal. We're talking about animals specifically causing damage.
But again, so take out the causing damage part. Forget the causing damage part. We're talking about borrowing. I've borrowed something from you and I'm not returning it in the same way.
Yeah, I understand that. But
whatever
I'm
happens to
you. Viewed from the point of view of the lender.
Yes.
He's in a universe where there's a possible scenario that he would only get half payment back for his own.
It's the same as anything. You live in a universe where it's possible you won't get payment back for any
yes,
for lots.
From that point of view, it doesn't make any difference that it was in the position.
Rabbi,
of the body,
maybe the point is that when I do lend it to you, so I'm lending it to you, David. Maybe I say to you, look, David, actually, for the purpose of this lending, if anything happens to what I'm lending you, you just got to make me whole.
Yes, if that's considered to be a condition of lending.
But that's the standard condition of lending. Yeah.
Irrespective of any other.
No, not irrespective. If you come to a specific arrangement, then you come to a specific arrangement.
I'm saying irrespective of this point that if it hadn't been.
Yeah,
it got gored by an animal.
Yeah, I think that's the point.
Yeah,
it's
correct. Correct.
It's restricting the scope.
But it's not that. But my point is, it's not just about that damages rule. I think again, I don't know why we seem to get caught up on this half damages thing. There are many scenarios in which you're going to lose your money as a result of someone causing you damage.
Yes, so I'm saying.
So
why not extend this one to that? Why not extend this to be one of those? That's why. There are many cases where you may not receive your full compensation.
Or you could put it another way around. You could say that actually. There are some other cases in which if you've got a short tongue, even though it's a short tongue, in this specific example, you can't claim to only have to pay half damages.
No, I think I don't. I think we need to move it away from Sharatam. I worry that the confusion here is based on the fact that we're talking about a Sharatam.
But that's why they've chosen this.
No, it's not. It's no? not. It's an easy one. They've chosen it because it's an easy one to do. But there are many cases in which, as an owner, I think the point I think we're getting stuck on, this is what I'm trying to explain to David, is that the fact that as an owner, you might, you know, if you were in that if you were in that position, the same thing wouldn't have been true, is exactly the point of a shoel, right? That borrower is going to be liable even though the owner would have got nothing as a result. Forget half damages, even in a case where the owner would have got nothing, right? Actually, this is a very common, not common, hopefully, but I'm sure this happens nowadays, okay? If I would have been driving along, and I would have been, let's say, stopped at a light, and a dangerous driver comes along with no insurance and goes into the back of me, right? So what happens? So you try and get your money back. The guy says, I don't have anything, I'm sorry. Goes off to jail or whatever happens to him. But the bottom line is, you still got no money, right? At the end of the day, you've got nothing, okay? So if I was driving my own car, it's a pain, that's tough. If I'd lent my car to you, right, then the pain is for you. I'm going to get my money back because you're going to end up paying me back because I lent you my car. That's the point, right? I did you a big favor, and you're right. It wasn't your fault, and it wasn't anything, and you've got to deal with this big fat pain. That's what happened. But I think that's exactly.
You're basically saying then, status of being a borrower or a lender, they overrides any other.
Exactly, that's exactly what the Gemara is saying. Exactly what the Gemara is saying. There you go. That's exactly what the Gemara is saying. Yes. Okay. There you go. Okay, good. So that's exactly what the Gemara is saying over here. Okay. So the fact that you are borrowing this means that you are liable. Right, even though in this particular scenario you also happen to be the mazik, right? You also happen to be the one who has caused the damage. And in theory, as the damager, you might have only been liable to half payments. But as David said, the fact that you are the borrower in this case overrides that. The fact that you're the borrower means that you're going to be liable for the whole thing, and therefore that's also not a good case. Because again, the our teaching, right, the Tana Rabbanan had specifically talked about a scenario where if it was a tam, you'd have paid half damages, and if you were if it was a muad, you'd have paid full damages. So we're still trying to find now what is the case that this teaching is referring to. What is the scenario that's actually going to fit all these different nuances? Okay, so that's so la'olam. Excuse me, Gemara comes back. La'olam da'az ke tura d'mashi'il l'tura d'shol. So we're going back now to the other way round. So really it was talking about a case where the tura d'mashi'il, the Reuven borrowed, or the other way around, Shimon borrowed Reuven's animal, okay, and then tura d'mashi'il caused damage to the tura d'shol, i.e. the animal that he had borrowed, the borrowed animal, caused damage to the animal that I already owned. So Shimon has the animal that he had borrowed, and that borrowed animal caused damage to the animal that I already owned, that Shimon already owned. And what we said earlier was that Reuven's response would be, he say, I know I'm not liable because I wouldn't have been liable if something would have happened under your care to someone else's animal, I wouldn't have been liable. So now that it's happened to your animal under your care, I'm still not liable. So the Gemara is going to have to sort of rejig that. V'hocha b'mayaskinon. What are we talking about? Shekibel olav shmiras gufo. So here we're talking about a case where they had had an overriding agreement that they had both shaken hands and said, this isn't a classic case of shoel. This is a case of shoel where actually I'd said, I am accepting upon myself kibel olav shmiras gufo v'lo kibel olav shmiras nezokov. He said, I'm borrowing your animal, okay? These were the terms. We had specific terms to our arrangement. Shimon said to Reuven, when I borrow your animal, I'm happy to return it in one piece if something happens to your animal. Okay? But I'm just telling you, I want it to be clear, I am not accepting responsibility if your animal goes and causes damage to something else. Okay? If something happens to your animal, I'm happy to reimburse you. I'm borrowing it. But if your animal goes and causes damage to someone else, that's not my responsibility. Okay? I'm not taking responsibility for that. And because he's not taking responsibility for that, so the owner must accept the responsibility for that. And therefore, this is the scenario that we're talking about. Urashus HaNizak VeHamazik. This is now a joint field. Okay? A joint field. And yet you're still liable for this... still liable for this Karen damage. Okay, the field is owned by Shimon and Reuven. The animal has been borrowed from Reuven to Shimon. This borrowed animal has caused damage to Shimon's other animal in that field, in this joint field. And Shimon now comes knocking on his door and says, I want payment. And the answer is he has to pay. Because in their agreement was that he was a borrower. He was going to pay him back if something happened to that animal. But nothing happened to that animal. That animal was the aggressor in this case. That animal was the one that caused damage. And since he didn't accept that upon himself, that was part of their arrangement, signed and sealed. So in that case, Reuven is going to have to accept the responsibility, and he's going to have to pay back. Okay? Fine. So, but now it still doesn't fit 100% because we had a continuation. So, Ihochi, Ema Seifa, the Gemara continues and clarifies that was only half the statement. Half the statement had talked about the liability, but the second half had given an exemption. So, Ema Seifa, the second half had said, Nifratza Balaila, Oshe Partsuha Listim. If it had broken through the fence, or someone else had broken through the fence, bandits, robbers had broken through the fence and it had got out, and it had caused damage, Potter, you're exempt. So the implication of that is that this is talking about at night time, balayla, ho bayom chayev. The implication is that you would be liable in the day. Why? Because it's because clearly the night is viewed as less of your responsibility, right? It's sort of you've done what you can, but this is it's a little bit of an onus in a sense. It's not a negligence, but it sounds like if it's during the daytime you've got to watch it more carefully, or during the daytime you should have been around. You can't just leave it on its own, and therefore Hobayom Chayev, you're going to be liable for that. And if that's the implication, then again, we cannot be talking about a case where they'd come to an arrangement that I'm exempt from damages caused by this animal, because the implication of the second half is that you would be liable if the same thing happened during the day. If you're liable, then obviously our arrangement was not for me to be always exempt from the thing. Holo kibel olav shmiras nezokav. So we see again, as we said, that they cannot be talking about a scenario where you accept it upon yourself. You refuse to accept upon yourself the responsibility for damages caused by this borrowed animal. Hochi ka'omar. So this is what it must mean. Im kibel olav shmiras nezokov. So you have to add in words, okay? Im kibel olav shmiras nezokov chayev. If you accept it upon yourself. Shmiras Nezokov, so you basically add in those words and you say, but if you did accept upon yourself the responsibility for looking after this animal, for the damage that this animal might cause, I should say, then even in that case, Nifratza Balaila Oshe Partsuha Listim, if the fence was broken either by the animal or by thieves, then V'yotza and it goes out, then his ikon causes damage, Potter, you're still going to be exempt. So far, that's our attempt, okay, to answer that. Okay. Any questions on that before we go? I mean, we're a little bit in the middle, but I just want to make sure we understood that little sort of rereading of the Brisa. Okay. Ini, is that really true? Right? Does this really work? And this is again going back on Rabbi Elazar, or Rabbi Elazar, I should call him, without the yud. So Rabbi Elazar, is it really true that this is going? I think this is going right back to the beginning. actually, I think that sort of was a good stopping point in a certain sense. I mean, we'll keep going a bit, but I think that is sort of drawing a line under that. We have reapplied that teaching to Rabbi Elazar. Okay, reapplied that teaching to Rabbi Elazar. But again, still, Rabbi Elazar was the one who had suggested that, or who'd said, that you're exempt for Shein and Regel damages. Okay, so that was the part we've been focusing on now, has been the liability of Keren damages, where the animal intentionally causes damage. But Rabbi Elazar was also of the opinion that you're exempt in that case, right? Well, we share, so again, just to come back to the scenario itself, we have a shared field. And it's not talking about borrowing, I don't think, anymore. Okay, not talking about borrowing anymore. We're just going back to Rabbi Elazar's original opinion. You and I have a shared field, and we both have animals, and you know, we have all sorts of stuff in this field. And while in this field, Reuven's ox eats Shimon's grain. Okay, so Rabbi Elazar was of the opinion that you're exempt from that. Okay, usually if my animal eats your grains, I have to pay you back. Okay, you shouldn't have. But because this is a joint field, so Rabbi Elazar seems to say that you're going to be exempt from that. So Ini, the Gemara wants to know: is that really true? Does that really work? Is that the case? V'hot hani Rav Yosef, we have this teaching from Rav Yosef: chotzer hashutfin, a joint field of joint ownership or joint responsibility. V'ha pundak and a. I think it's an inn, right? So like a hotel, basically, right? So it's obviously again a joint space, right? And so because it's a joint space, and obviously someone caused damage to someone else, or so one's animal caused damage to someone else. Chayev, you're liable, bohen, al hashein va al haregel, right? In both those cases, you're going to be liable for shein and regel. So that's Rav Yosef. That's Rav Yosef. So the Gemara responds to Yufta de Rabbi Elazar, to Yufta de Rabbi Elazar. Yeah, you're right. This doesn't fit. This doesn't work with Rabbi Elazar's opinion. Rabbi Elazar and Rav Yosef are incompatible. Okay, incompatible. Rav Yosef says you're liable. Rabbi Elazar says you are exempt. Omer lecha Rabbi Elazar might respond and say as follows: V'tisbara masnisa milo pligi, right? Basically, I think he's saying, right? Does that mean, you know, are you telling me that there's no other place that there's disagreement about this, right? I think the problem over here is that Rav Yosef doesn't seem to be having a dissenting opinion. Usually when we have Mishnayos or Brises or things which are, you know, on controversial topics, then you bring both opinions. The fact that this has been quoted as Rav Yosef on his own makes it sound like this is a teaching that everyone accepts. And that's our problem. That's why we're sort of questioning Rabbi Elazar on this. But Rabbi Elazar says, is that, you know, that's it. Milo Pligi, is there no one else who disagrees with Hatanya? He says, I have a brisa that fits with me, right? You've quoted this teaching and you're trying to say that doesn't work because that my opinion is problematic because we have a sort of a statement that disagrees with me. Vahatanya, I have a statement that works in my favor. Arbo'a klolos. So there are four sort of principles, I think, is how we're going to translate this. I think that's what we're talking about. Right there, but I think we really would say klolim in Hebrew. It's a really masculine noun, right? There are four sort of principles, like a klal, four things to bear in mind. Hoya Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Omer, that Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar would say as follows: Benazikin in damages. Kol shehu. So this is number. So you're going to go through each one. Number one. Kol shehu rishus lenizak velo lamazik chayev bakol, right? Anything which is the property of the nizak, of the damaged party, velo lamazik, and not the property of the damaging party, chayev bakol, you are going to be liable full damages. Even nezek shalem, right? Even full damages, even for a shartum, I think is what he's saying. And again, we're going to explain the reasoning a little bit later on. This is probably what we're going to have to come back to next time. excuse me, but we'll go we'll go through the actually I think we probably will start from that next time, but let's just go a bit further now and see if we can sort of understand it a bit before we wrap up. Give it a few more minutes. So that's principle number one that Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar is introducing to us. And I'm assuming this is a different Rabbi Shimon. Ben Elazar is not the same Elazar as Rabbi Elazar, I'm assuming, because it doesn't fit to say that he's quoting from his own son. This must be somebody else. So Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar again has this teaching: Kol shi rishus lenizak v'lo namazik chayev. If you have a property which is if the damage occurs on a property which entirely belongs to the damaged party rather, and not to the damager at all, then you're going to be chayev b'kol. You're going to be liable in everything. So again, if my animal gores your animal in the street, right, then that's when chatzi nezek would apply. That's when this idea of half damages would kick in. But according to Rav Shimon ben Elazar, what he's saying is if your animal climbed into my field and then gored my animal, then you're going to be liable full damages. Okay, there's no exemption of shertam in that scenario. That's Rav Shimon ben Elazar's first thing. Second one, chayav b'kol demazik. So that's the first one, and that's the one we're going to stick with for now for a bit. So we explain the mazik velola nizak potter. We're not explaining. This is number two. The mazik velola nizak potter mikol. And if it belongs to the damager and not to the damaged party, potter mikol, you're going to be exempt entirely. Right, again, so not half damages. Half damages is only in the street. But he's going to explain. Lozer v'lozer. If it belongs to both of them, then what's the halacha? Kegon chotzer hashutfim v'habika. Potter bo ala shein v'ala regel. You're going to be exempt for shein and for regel, for eating or for accidental accidentally trampling or treading or something like that as it's walking. Al hanagicha va'al hanagifa va'al hanashicha va'al harvitza va'al habeita, all those types of intentional damages, right? Whether it's what are they? So nagicha is goring, pushing, biting, treading and stamping, I think, right? Or kicking and stamping, I should say, kicking and stamping. So tam mishalem chatzi nezek, then a right, this short term will pay half damages. Muad mishalim nezek shalim. And finally, let's just finish it off, and then we'll sort of absorb them. Lo lozer ve lo lozer kagon chotzer she'ena shel shnehem chayev ba'al ha'shein ve'al ha'regel al ha'negicha ve'al ha'neshicha ve'al ha'negifa ve'al ha'revitz ve'al ha'be'ita tam mishalim nezek shalim. Again, chatzi nezek muad mishalim nezek shalim. So the reason I rushed through all of that is basically the principle is as follows. So these are Rav Shimon's four principles. So Rav Shimon's laying out for us four scenarios effectively. Okay, so what type of, where does the damage occur? That's critical here according to Rav Shimon ben Elazar. Where does the damage occur? So we have four different types of places. Okay, either a place which is only owned by the damaged party, okay, owned by the person who had the damage caused to them, owned by the person who caused the damage, owned by both of them together, or owned by neither of them. Okay, those are the four types of places. So in the first place, if it was a place which was owned by the damaged party, then you're going to be liable entirely, everything. Even you're going to be over and above. Even shor tam, you're going to be liable full payment. Bishus hamazik, if it was my property and my animal caused the damage, then what were you doing in my property? And therefore, you're going to be exempt entirely. Okay, you're never going to be liable. If it's this joint property, so Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar seems to fall like Rabbi Elazar himself. He says that for Shein and Regel, you're going to be exempt, but for Karen, you're going to be liable. I.e., if we have this joint property, you and I own a field together, and excuse me, and my animal eats your grain or accidentally tramples on your grain or something else, right, on your plants, then I'm going to be exempt, in our joint property, but I'm going to be liable if your animal does intentional damage. Okay, if it does intentional damage, it's going to fall under the regular rules. Shotam, Shamuad, whatever they are, but it's going to fall under the regular rules. And again, in a public place, place which is owned by neither party, right, public place or perhaps owned by a third party, then we're going to be liable for everything as normal, right? Everything as normal. Shane, Regel, Keren, the whole thing is going to follow its own regular rules. So that's Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. But part three was the part that was the key part that Rabbi Elazar was bringing this for, because this is an opinion that backs him up, right? We'd quoted Rav Yosef as saying that in a chotzer shutfim, in a joint property, you're liable for Shane and Regel. You're liable if your animal eats my grain, or trips over, you know, or kicks my iPad as it's walking. I never use that. I mean, it's a good example in theory. It's not such a great example because I think if you leave it on the floor, you might have there might be other. Yeah, it's not necessarily the case. Yeah. So, but whatever it is, if you leave your, I don't know, if it trips over something else, while it's walking around, then you're going to be liable. Something which is normal to leave around, as I said, crops is a good example. Okay, it tramples through my rose bushes. Let's say, you know, tramples through my rose bushes accidentally. It does it as it's walking along. Then you're going to be okay. So Rav Yosef had said very clearly that you're going to be liable, and we'd sort of thrown the book at Rabbi Elazar. We'd said, you know, this is no good, right? You basically have no leg to stand on because we have this very strong opinion against you. Rabbi Elazar had responded and said, no, I have this brisa which is in my favor, and he'd quoted Rav Shimon ben Elazar, who went through these four different scenarios, and basically based on that, he said Rav Shimon ben Elazar backs me up. And that's where we're gonna leave it for today. Next time, obviously we'll return to this. We'll come back to it. I'd also like to try and get into the whys a little bit, right? We haven't got into the sort of the logic behind it as much, right? We haven't sort of spent time figuring out why you're going to be exempt in all these different types of scenarios, or why you're going to be liable, right? So I think that's also a good one to get back into. But obviously the focus is this Shane and Regel now, right? Eating, damage caused by eating, or accident, you know, when walking around, and whether you're liable or whether you're exempt in that particular scenario. Great. Thank you.